looking across the landscape of real estate professionals that I admire the most, I think their leadership style comes out of empathy and their empathy comes out of curiosity. They really want to know who they're working with. They really want to know how to help them. And it's impossible to understand those things without being curious.
You are listening to Powerhouse Joe Herrera, who is the co-owner of the Joe Taylor Group in Las Vegas, Nevada market, and is a lead generation master. In this episode, we break down creating leads for your business, what you need to convert them, and the biggest lesson he learned in 20 plus years of doing business. This episode is for those who want to build a business around generating 10,000 leads. The equation they use for their agents to convert them into sales, and what it takes to be a dynamic team leader or CEO. So the question is, how do entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts scale to create a massive business, all while having fun and impacting lives? Welcome to The Raquel Show. I'm your host, Raquel Quinette, business coach, real estate entrepreneur, investor, wife, and sports mom. This podcast will give you real quick tips, strategies, tools, and inspire you to help you play bigger in business and in life. Are you ready? Let's grow to the next level. Welcome to The Raquel Show. This show is for entrepreneurs who want to play bigger in business and in life. And as you all know, I love interviewing game changers. And today I have a special guest who I met at a mastermind. He's probably been one of the best when it comes to follow-up and doing what he says he is going to do. He is a powerhouse out of Las Vegas, Nevada. He has 20 plus years in real estate and team building. And I love that because I know that there are different cycles and shifts. And I know with his experience, you have been able to find key things that continue to dominate the market. He's the partner or co-founder or co-owner of the Joe Taylor Group. He's also a lead conversion coach for 10 plus years, generated over 10,000 leads and closing 1,000 units a year. He's the podcast host of Team Leader Academy. So welcome to the show, Joe Herrera.
Thank you. That was awesome. I'm going to record that and just play that back to my family. Like, hey guys, listen to this before we chat. Like, you guys, everyone has to listen to this introduction. That was awesome.
If you ever need a hype woman,
you're in. That was awesome. That's great.
Right. So let's kick it off. I'm excited to have this conversation. Tell us, how did you get to where you're at today with your team? You know, you're a lead generation, like guru and conversion. So I know it just did start that way. So give us like the CNN quick version of like who Joe is and how'd you get to where you're at?
Yeah. So I graduated high school with like a 1.7 GPA. Like really bad. My mom was a compulsive gambler. She left when I was a kid. So I was pretty much a lost boy. So after high school, I went on a two-year mission. I spent 2 years of service. And when I came home, I really wanted to be a personal injury attorney, but I had zero skills in the classroom. So I figured that I could provide for a future family in one of two ways. The choice I saw it, which may not be logical, was either insurance or real estate. And I was like, I think I could sell insurance. I think I could sell real estate. So I chose real estate because I was attracted to the big paycheck. And then there have been times in my career where I was like, man, I wish I had that residual income like insurance agents have. So I started out in 2001, knocking doors and driving limo for a powerhouse agent in Vegas. I was a limo driver when he would take his clients around. Went out on my own at Remax, met Taylor at a church activity. And he was like, hey, I want to be a realtor. He was running a construction crew at the time. In 2005, we started the Joe Taylor Group. I was the wise old sage. I'd been in the industry for 3 years or whatever. And he was at a year under his belt. The premise was pretty simple. I would take all the listings and everybody else would go show buyers. It seemed like a great idea. the market crashed. We started feeling it in 06. And then obviously 07, 08, like Vegas was similar to Phoenix, the epicenter of the whole thing. We lucked out. We got a REO contract with B of A, and we got a government contract to help the government buy houses with, it was called the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. So our business pretty much existed until 2010. We opened an independent brokerage because our RE/MAX office became a Better Homes and Gardens franchise. And we ran that brokerage for 2 years and then exited it. The reason that's important is because in 2012, I became a tech startup guy. I had an idea for an app. It's still a great idea. And we raised $1 million and we built a mobile application and we partnered with Shaquille O'Neal. He was one of our founding partners. We were working with Adam Carolla and Sean Neff and San Diego State University and the Clippers, and Snoop Dogg was tweeting about us. It was awesome. And through it, it had nothing to do with real estate, but through it, I learned the power of social media. And so when that failed in 2014, the hardest thing I've ever dealt with professionally, like the failure of that company was way harder than the recession. When that failed, we decided to go all in on real estate. But I told Taylor at the time, I'm like, bro, I can't do it the same way. Like, we've got to come up with some new ideas. So we took our experience from the failed tech company and leveraging social media. And we started advertising on Facebook, and like we found out pretty quick, like we can cut out the middleman. We didn't have to do Zillow. We didn't have to do realtor.com. We didn't have to buy leads from anybody else. We could generate them ourselves and be self-sufficient that way. So 2016, we started another brokerage, kind of a team ridge model, where we realized we had 20 agents on our core team, but then the other 100 independent agents at our office, a slew of them also needed lead generation. So we kind of created this part-time, full-time team rich model. And we were running that until last year when we made another transition into a national brokerage. And so we have about 1,100 agent relationships. I would say 150 of them are lead-based relationships where we provide leads and transaction management, things like that. Currently, the Joe Taylor Group is in Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and Tennessee. So we're big into expansion and satellite teams. And I've very passionate about my wife. She's beautiful. She's awesome. I've got 4 children. My son just received his assignment to serve for 2 years in Botswana and Namibia. He's the blondest, whitest Herrera you've ever seen in your whole life. And he's going into South Africa, and it's going to be glorious. He's 18. And I've got a 16-year-old, 13-year-old, 10-year-old. And my 10-year-old is such a good golfer that I can no longer give him strokes anymore, because lately he's been beating me and he's 10. And I'm actually a really good golfer. I shot a 1-under the other day, 71. So I'm a good golfer, and he's hanging with me. So that's me in a nutshell.
I love it. There's like so much to unpack in that. And you had mentioned, you know, you now have a team, it's in multiple markets. At what point did you know that you needed to take your real estate business and grow a team?
It came out of a lack of enjoyment of showing houses. I wish there was a sexier answer than that. I just got sick of it. Like, I was like, I can't do this anymore, right? Like, I probably 3 or 4 years in was just like, I really am not enjoying selling houses anymore from the buyer's perspective. And so naturally, I fell in love with the idea of having other individuals that I just give leads to, and then they give me money when a deal closes. It was awesome. So that was kind of where it was born. And then Taylor came on as a buyer's agent. And if I have any talents, I think it's that I'm able to read people pretty well as far as like the goodness or their, more than anything, probably their aptitude. And I was like, this guy's a great person. He's going to do big things. So shortly after coming on as a buyer's agent, I was like, hey, why don't we just partner up and do this? And we'll go get buyer's agents. And so it was kind of a fail forward type thing. It was like, I'm failing at showing houses because I don't enjoy it. But I know that money can be made by showing houses. What if I just hand off leads to people who show houses? And it was, I don't think I put a lot of thought into it beyond like, I don't want to go show another house.
I love it. So you have a team. You also have a podcast for team leaders. And I'm curious as to how did you pick team leaders, and how did you go in that direction versus, you know, single agents versus like newer agents? You know, you have a podcast specifically for people that are leading teams.
So the tech space we went into was event discovery. Like that was the app we built. So imagine you go to Hawaii and you say, show me all the events happening. And I was very specific when we were building it that I wanted to be everything to everybody. And what I learned was by trying to be everything to everybody, we became nobody to anybody. We just failed because I was so like, no, we can't exclude, you know, salsa events, just like we can't exclude the Los Angeles Clippers. Like we've got to do both. So this time around, if I was going to get back into coaching, because we've done quite a bit in the past, I wanted to coach the individuals that I could have the greatest impact with. The reality is, I believe in real estate teams. I believe that that is how we win. Like as real estate professionals, I believe with a shifting economy, it's going to be really tough for the solo agent who sells homes to their friends from CrossFit. I think that's going to be a challenging endeavor. And I think the individuals who are going to win in the future are going to be highly collaborative, team-based models. And so if I'm going to put my time into something, I want it to be, as you know, nothing's worse than coaching people and teaching them principles that they will never apply. Mm-hmm. And if I was just trying to be everything to everybody and teach every agent how to be good, I would be spinning my wheels. And so as we evaluated the space, I thought there's probably room for somebody that just lays the whole blueprint out. Here's exactly how our team works. Here's exactly what our splits look like. Here's exactly the paid employees versus the 1099. Here's how a transaction manager is compensated and so on and so forth. And so it was kind of out of annoyance. It's too easy to try to be everything to everybody.
So I couldn't agree with you more.
It's more challenging to try to be somebody awesome to a small segment, but that's what we're trying to do.
I love that. And there's a lot of people that listen that are team leaders or lead their companies on this podcast. So what do you think makes a great or an exceptional team leader or CEO or business owner?
I think a great leader is curious. And that sounds kind of weird. But I think in order to lead, you have to be empathetic. And Phil Jones, who wrote Exactly What to Say, talks a lot about in order to gain empathy, you have to be curious about other people. And so I haven't always been a curious person. I can tend to be an extroverted introvert. Like I'm the life of the party when I want to be type thing. And so the great leaders I've known have been curious about me, curious about my world, curious about what makes me tick, curious about how I can find success, curious about what motivates me. And so if I had to say, looking across the landscape of real estate professionals that I admire the most, I think their leadership style comes out of empathy and their empathy comes out of curiosity. They really want to know who they're working with. They really want to know how to help them. It's impossible to truly be able to lead someone unless you understand who they are and what makes them tick. And it's impossible to understand those things without being curious.
Yeah. So good. And you talk about team leaders, and most team leaders need to, you know, grow their teams or have that component if they are going to be a leader or lead a team. How Right. would you say, or how do you guys find talent on your team today?
It's really tough. Finding good, because here's the thing. It's no secret. A significant portion of real estate agents got into it because they saw somebody with mediocre talent like myself get paid $25,000 when they bought a brand new home that visibly took 3 hours worth of work. And at the closing table, husband turns to wife turns to husband, you know, wife turns to wife, whatever it is, and says, sweetheart, Joe, who's not even that great, made $25,000 for 3 hours worth of work. That's like $8,000 per hour. Why don't you become a real estate agent? It takes 2 weeks. So then people flood into our industry, and what they don't actually want to do is they don't want to work hard. They want to create vacation income or side hustle income through the sale of real estate. So what I've seen happen is those individuals get into the industry, they pay for everything, they attend some training, you know, five steps to blast off or whatever. And within 6 or 8 months, they go like, holy crap, like this is harder than I thought it was. And then a lot of times they end up in our world. But in reality, one of my favorite reel videos I ever made, like reels, was just that says, if you hop from brokerage to brokerage to brokerage to brokerage, like you are the problem. Like it's not that brokerage, it's you, right? But so in recruiting and attracting talent, we run into the same thing where I'm like, holy crap, like how could this person not be awesome? They seem so great. So we seem to do really well with brand new agents that we can teach the industry that have a pretty decent size why, or can develop a decent size why. Like they have to have a reason why they're willing to walk out of the movie theater. We saw an influx of talent when the strip shut down. We got amazing individuals that were bottle servers and Cirque du Soleil performers. And they came into our space and like literally one girl put 14 transactions together in like 4 months from scratch with our lead gen stuff, right? And we were like, holy crap. But guess what? As soon as Pure or whatever nightclub she works at opened back up and she could go make $4,000 a night serving champagne to Kawhi Leonard, she's going to go do that. So we lost her. But I think Vegas presents a unique challenge for us because we're the birthplace of Realty One Group. Agents are obsessed with 100% commission, which isn't really a thing, but they think it is. And then we lose so much talent to the strip. Like there's so many amazing people who are blackjack dealers, valet parkers, strippers, Cirque du Soleil performers, you know, bellmen. Like there's great talent down there and they just can't walk away from the money they make on the strip.
Yeah, you said a lot there. And one of the things as team leaders, when they are looking for talent, one of the challenges I think that holds them back, and you hear it often, is I want to grow a team, but I don't think I have enough leads. And you said it, you know, you had somebody on your team close, you know, with no experience through your lead generation system. And you're the lead gen coach who has generated over 10,000 leads. So let's talk about that. What specifically are you guys doing to generate that volume of leads?
So we work off of a very simple math equation. It's kind of boring and weird, but it's something that I learned to be true. I believe an agent is at their optimal performance with 40 convertible leads a month, like 40 human beings that are looking to buy or sell. And then their production on an annual basis becomes the sum of the math equation, which is opportunity times consistency and persistence equals their production. And so here's how it works. If somebody could say to themselves, I get 40 good convertible opportunities per month, and I'm a 5 on the persistence scale, and I'm a 5 on the consistency scale, then they would be about 50% as productive. So that type of individual could close 20 transactions in a given year. I know that that sounds weird. It's just something I found to be true. So for us, we use Facebook and Instagram to generate warm leads. We don't do forced registration stuff. Everything comes in property inquiries. We've got a full-time lead distribution manager who's sitting at the desk right now, 20 feet in the other room. And as individuals inquire on properties, it's a very simple process of saying like, I'll have Raquel reach out to you with some information. What's a good phone number for you? So I think our agents love that the people know that they're going to be contacted. So much lead generation through social media is done through trap forms. Like you have to fill out the form. We get more human with it. And so we've seen some success there. But for us, it all starts with our full-time agents each get 40 opportunities per month. And our part-time agents each get 20 opportunities per month. And if they fail in that, so we had Angie last year close 58 transactions. Jake did 54. Jaden did just shy of 30. And these are extraordinary individuals, but they proved that it's possible. So the bane of my existence is finding people who are willing. Like I know I can provide the opportunity. My problem is finding people who are persistent enough and consistent enough to turn the opportunity into anything. And it all goes back to the closing table. Sweetheart, you'd be such a great realtor, right? Like, so this is these, you and I understand this because we deal with it every day. This is our problem. Agents don't really, really want to be successful. They want the money, but they don't want the struggle. I did a video. I'll send it to you. It's literally my favorite. I was so pissed. Like, listen to this story. We had a girl interview with us last week. She would be amazing. She's been on a team for 8 months. She's not producing on that team. I think she's highly talented. So we got her in here for an interview. And a few days later, she texted and said, "Hey guys, I decided to go another direction." And I was like, "All right, cool. Well, help us be a little bit better. Like, why did you choose someone else instead of us?" And her response was, "Well, your team requires me to come to the office 5 days a week. Their team only requires me to come to the office 3 days a week." And I snapped on her in a nice way. I was just like, "You know what? The sad part is you're going to be doing this exact same search in 6 months because you're not going to succeed. Like, you're not going to cut it. It's not going to be what your financial, you're not going to meet your financial goals because you're not willing to pay the price." And I was like, "I'm just so grateful that you told me now as opposed to in the future." Like, "I'm so grateful we didn't go all in on you because you just told us really quick, like, hey, I'm not serious about this." Mm-hmm. She's going to try to prove me wrong, but I believe she'll call me in 4 months, 5 months and go, "Hey, things weren't all they were cracked up to be." But anyways, that unwillingness to work hard and be consistent is really what keeps me up at night.
So let's talk about that, because, you know, you named some agents on your team that had some big numbers that, you know, obviously converted some leads, and you guys produce a lot of leads, and conversion is really where it's at if we're going to get paid or have revenue in this industry. So what would you say are some of the key factors that every real estate team or business should have when it comes to lead conversion?
I think consistency, number one. Like, Chris Smith talks quite a bit. Not sure if you know Chris, but he talks quite a bit in the conversion code about speed to lead is important, about the number of times a lead is contacted. You know, conversion happens really at mass in contacts number 9 through 12, where most agents give up after one. We went up to Zillow. We did a deal with Zillow 4 or 5 years ago. Taylor and I flew up to Zillow corporate, and they gave us the whole spiel. And they said that something crazy, like 66% of the leads generated by Zillow are never contacted once. And I was like, throw up in my mouth, right? I think the key is the successful ones, it all goes back to their why. Like, Angie's a freaking monster. Like, you'll meet her someday. She's the greatest. Like, we literally have had to tell her, like, "Ange, go home to your husband and kids. Like, get out of here," right? She just has such a big why. Jake is a little bit different, former military guy. So he's very systematic in his approach. His life is compartmentalized. When he's at work, he's at work, you know, and he got remarried, and his new wife makes a lot of money. So a little bit of, like, masculine pride is like, "Screw this, I'm going to show her," right? And then Jaden is a young father. He's got two kids. And so he has no choice. Like, he has to make it go. But then even in that, you know, Jaden, once he started making over six figures, he was like, "All right, bro, we got to get this to multiple six figures. Like, how do we get you to 250 a year?" You know, everybody has to be pushed, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the key, though, comes down to, can they be consistently persistent? Because an above average agent can do 10 deals a year, being really good at one of those. But if you really wanted to get into that 25 to 50 deal a year range, they've got to have both.
Hmm. You've been in this business over two decades, right? And you probably have learned a lot, and people see you as this powerhouse that has this big empire, big business. If you look back, what has been that fail forward moment where you failed forward, but it was also the biggest lesson that you had in your entrepreneurial journey?
Great question. So Taylor and I hit a wall where I just burnt out, and I literally went to him as a business partner and said, "Bro, I just can't do things I don't want to do anymore." Like, I'm pretty hard on myself from, like, a spiritual type of thing. Like, if I road rage on somebody, I'm like, "Ah, I shouldn't have done that." So as a young Catholic boy who became a young Mormon boy, like, I have dual guilt complexes. The watershed moment for me was when he and I said, "Let's stop doing things we don't want to do, and let's just hire it." So I don't want to show houses. The last time I showed a house, honestly, Raquel, was I think a year ago. I showed a buddy of mine a $2 million house and he bought it and it was awesome. And then before that, I was like three. I don't like showing houses. I don't like paperwork. Like I don't even want to see it. Like get it out of my face, right? It was a fail in the sense that there's this obsession with being everything to everybody. And I finally went to my partner. I was like, bro, I'm not everything to everybody. I don't even like half the stuff I'm doing. So let's just stop and let's just hire it. Luckily, he was like, yeah, let's do it. So then our business divided up. We're still fully partnered in everything, but he does what he does good. I do what I do good. And neither of us have to do things we don't want to do. And it's like, it took me a while to mature to find out what I really liked. But now I get excited to come to work every single day because I was, you know, if you want to talk about fear, I was always afraid when I no longer have to show up for work, am I just going to become a professional golfer, like an aspiring golfer, right? Like, am I just going to sit home with my wife every day and watch Dawson's Creek or something? Like, am I going to stop pushing? But now I wake up more motivated than I've ever been. And I think a significant portion of that comes from the fact that I don't do anything I don't want to do. Like, if I don't want to do it, I just give it to somebody. I'm like, hey, go do this. And then it gets done. It's amazing.
That's smart.
So that was kind of failing forward in the sense that it took me going, I'm not the greatest blankety blankety blank that there ever was. And that's okay. I can admit that. It happened in my marriage. It's not a sexy thing. But I remember telling my wife, like, I'm never going to mow the grass. It's just never going to happen. I'm never going to keep the chemicals in the pool. And I know that you have these fantasies about coming home and I'm like shirtless, like mowing the grass or working on the pool. It's just not going to be me, but I will make the money that makes sure that our grass is always mowed and our pool always looks good. And that's just kind of at the core of who I am. Like, I just don't do anything I don't want to do. And so it's created this failure that led to the more I get myself out of crap I hate doing, the more successful we become, which is pretty awesome.
That's so good. So as you look into the future, what is next for Joe? What are you most excited that you're working on? And how are you guys positioning your business for the future?
We take our core team every year. We do a rewards trip. 2 years ago was to Tahiti. I don't know if I've told you this story. You've probably covered it. We were on the island of Mo'orea. And we went on a four-wheeler adventure. I promise there's a point to this. And we went up into these fields. And as far as the eyes could see, on every mountain was pineapples. And the guy stopped us and he said, you need to understand something about Tahiti. We are a network of islands. And we are the pineapple island. And he pointed to another island. He's like, they grow the pigs. And like, they grow the rice. And he pointed around and I was like, dude, this is amazing. Because rather than Mo'orea trying to have pigs and rice and pineapples and everything that the whole civilization needed, at some point they tribally got together and said, hey, how about we just do pineapples? Because we're really good at it. How about you guys get really good at pork? How about you guys get really good at this? That is my future, is a collaboration of agents across North America, and we can accomplish anything. Real estate is a lonely space. It's a highly competitive environment. The people that don't understand real estate, when they get into it, think that the lady sitting next to you is going to help you. She's not. She'll cut your throat. What I'm trying to build is bridges and just an integrated network of great real estate minds across North America, that whether it's Amy in Toronto or Tracy in Boston or Spring in Utah or Chuck in Tennessee or whatever it is, like, we will collectively figure it out. Because we went through the last recession as an island, truly isolated. Taylor and I were like, holy crap, who do we know that can get us some REO properties? Holy crap, who do we know that? And so we were trying to like scrounge together any contacts we had to figure out how to move forward. I'm actually excited for the future market because my tribe, like the people I'm connected to, it seems like I know somebody that's great at every single thing. And so collectively, whether it's me offering guidance or me receiving it through this collaborative effort, I think it excites me to one of my favorite videos, Key and Peele, is when the substitute teacher says, like, are you ready to go to war, Balake? And like, I feel like I'm ready to go to war because of my tribe, not because I am so great, but because we are so great.
Yeah, I am excited about what's about to happen, right, in this shift as people are nervous. I always say, like, embrace it. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's about who you align yourself with will absolutely matter. And we cannot grow in isolation. So where can people connect with you?
So the best way to connect with me is through Instagram, at Joe Herrera, pretty simple. I literally will respond to Instagram. You and I communicate mostly through Instagram. I've got your phone number, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to hit Raquel. And I'll like hit you on Instagram. And so I'm addicted to Instagram Messenger. So at Joe Herrera, I went through a transition. What's funny, I literally said, like, I don't care what my fourth grade teacher thinks about me anymore. Like, I literally just want to provide value to real estate agents. So all of my friends probably hate my social media stuff because they're like, they're not in the industry. So anyways, Instagram, I've gone pretty heavy into trying to provide value. And so that's kind of the best place for me to connect with other real estate professionals.
And we will put it in the show notes, Joe Herrera on Instagram. And I will tell you, he will answer his DM. And as we wrap up, there's always one question that I ask all the guests is, what is one thing that Joe does to play bigger in business and in life?
I look for things that I honestly admire about individuals, and I am lavish in my praise. I don't hold back. When I admire something about somebody, I have no reservations about telling them. And it's guys at the gym that lift more weight than me. It's my female entrepreneur friends who I really admire their skill sets. It's agents that work for me that when I'm leaving the office, they're still on the grind. Like, I truly look for the best, and I try my best to adequately express my admiration for it. Naturally, we all look for the worst in people. So I fight that tendency with one of my core values, which is to look for the best in other people and try to articulate what I love so much about it.
I love that. I think that the world needs more of Joe Herrera. As we wrap up, thank you so much for being on our show. I know your time is extremely valuable. I appreciate you, and I look forward to playing bigger with you in the years to come.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode and hanging out with me today. If you're loving The Raquel Show and you've gotten value from it for your business or your life, please don't forget to hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. I'd love to connect with you further, so text me at www.textraquel.com and send me a message. You'll be added to our VIP list for updates and special events we're hosting for our community. I look forward to hanging out with you on the next episode.